Hello, and welcome to the CVC Unplugged podcast from GCV. I'm Fernando Moncada. Universities are, by their very nature, hotbeds of research and innovation. The question has always been, how do we best transfer that innovation from the lab out into the real world, right? How can this research be commercialized? And one of the biggest hurdles to doing that, to getting technologies from universities out into the market, has been that of intellectual property. Who does this technology belong to and who can benefit from it has always been a very important question, for obvious reasons. And traditionally, many universities have been loath to part ways with their IP rights, which is understandable, but is something of a death knell for any investment that a potential spin-out may be hoping for. Investors, after all, want to know that the company that they're investing in owns the very thing that gives it value. Today, I'm pleased to be joined once again by Kim Moore, deputy editor of GCV and editor of Global University Venturing, about the changes that have been happening on this front at German universities, which are slowly moving to new models of IP transfer that are more friendly to early stage investors who may want to back a university spin-out. Models like giving over the IP in return for shares in an eventual exit are becoming increasingly popular. And some universities have seen that transfer process, which could typically take up to a year, for example, reduced down to 12 weeks, making both investors and innovation professionals within universities optimistic about commercializing research going forward. Be sure to like, share, and subscribe to CVC Unplugged, and above all, enjoy the show. So Kim, welcome back to the show. It's always a pleasure having you on. How's it going?
Very well, thank you, Fernando. Thank you for having me back on the podcast.
Of course, no, you're one of our favorite guests now, and you know you have a very interesting piece out recently, which is why I wanted to talk to you. You were looking at, for lack of a better term, you know, the ease of transfer of kind of IP from, you know, in university spin-outs from the universities to the startups. In I think you were kind of focused on the German markets, but you know we're seeing kind of, you know, similar, if not patterns, and certainly desires elsewhere in other university innovation contexts around the world. So it's really, I think, an important topic. So maybe, yeah, let's start off with a bit of an overview of what you were looking at, really. What we can start by asking, you know, what has the IP transfer process typically looked like at universities?
So there's many big research universities around the world, and they have these technology transfer offices where spin-outs, so you have an idea that a professor has or a student has, and it's got a lot of potential for commercialization. So the technology transfer offices, they are the people that really sort of organize, try to get it commercialized. Now, in Germany, but also, you know, places like the UK as well, we have this really great world-class university research, but there we are lagging behind in terms of getting it commercialized and really getting investments to these spin-outs so that they can scale up. So yeah, a lot of great research, but yes, this kind of process of commercialization is of lagging behind maybe other countries like the US. So I looked at Germany in particular because it has done quite a bit of work in terms of researching why it's lagging behind other countries in terms of getting their spin-outs commercialized and scaling them up. And this issue of IP transfer came up as an issue. There are other issues too, but this is quite a big issue that can fairly easily be resolved really by the universities. So typically the university will own the intellectual property of the research when it's emerged from their own university. And at some point when the spin-out, when the founder of the spin-out wants to attract side capital or is thinking about commercialization, they need to buy that IP. Or get that IP somehow from the university because no external investor will come in and invest in a company, a new company that where the IP is owned by the university. And because eventually they will want to have that IP, right? They'll want a portion of that. So that has to be really worked out before an investor will come in. So I spoke to a particular university, it's called the Technical University of Darmstadt, and they have done some recent work on making it easier for founders of spin-outs, of technology that's emerged from their university. They've sort of found a way to transfer that IP. So what their method, new model, is that they will give the founder of the spin-out IP in return for a portion of real or virtual shares in the company if the company has an exit, right? So if there's no exit, there'll be no return there for the university, but it's like a sort of, they're calling it an IP for shares model. And so, yeah, they've got four spin-outs that have gone through this process. You know, it's still early days, right? I wouldn't say they've been able to say definitively that this has led to, you know, a huge amount of new investment coming into these spin-outs, but it's definitely, they're very pleased with how it has gone. It's definitely had a good reception from the spin-outs that have entered these contracts.
Interesting. And not to put too fine a point on it, but the reason why this is so important is because, you know, intellectual property is effectively the value of a company, right? Without its USP, essentially, right? Without the IP, the company's worthless, you know, so investors need to know that, you know, what they're investing in is the owner of the technology that it's selling. So that's why they're you know, this is such an important issue. And why is it, or rather, how did the process kind of come about at Darmstadt to do this? What was the kind of impetus?
Yeah, so they had done some research really just into why they do lag behind commercialization of their spin-outs. And they'd asked investors and spin-out founders too about barriers to commercialization. And I was speaking to one investor in Germany there from Hightech Gründerfonds, which is a public private venture capital firm. They have corporate limited partners, some German, I believe quite a few German, kind of small to medium sized German corporates in their fund. And they invest in seed stage companies, and a lot of their investments they target are university spin-outs. And so one of the principals at that fund had sort of talked me through the issues with investing in spin-outs, and he said it can be very case specific. You can go to one university and the whole transfer of the IP is very quick and there's no real issues, but other universities he's worked with, this whole process can take several months, even a year, he said. And of course, you know, investors don't wait around that long. That's not kind of the time cycles that they work to. So yeah, he just said that there's just a huge difference between the universities in terms of like sorting out this IP transfer. He then sort of suggested, well, you know, speaking to the Technical University of Darmstadt, who had done, you know, a lot in sort of changing their model to make it more investor friendly. There's another university, it's in Munich, the Office for Research and Innovation at the Technical University of Munich. So that's Technical University of Munich's Technology Transfer Office, and they have also transformed their model for transferring IP, and that happens, they've really fast-tracked it, so it happens now within 12 weeks. So instead of it taking, you know, like months and months, and a deal can easily fall apart, right, if it takes that long. So they've really fast-tracked that model. So it's it seems to be a movement among German universities to kind of work on this idea of transferring IP in a more investor-friendly way.
And before this shift started to happen, the shift towards universities being a bit less tight-fisted with IP, that is, what was the general reluctance to relinquish control of it? Was it just a question of economic value?
I mean, I think, so there is a working group in Germany amongst universities, and they are working with a German agency, government agency called Sprint, which is the Federal Agency for Disruptive Innovation. And they are working on sort of standardization of IP terms, a kind of contract that all universities can adopt in term for IP transfer. And, you know, people that are close to those kind of talks have said that there are some kind of conservative universities that don't think that they need to sort of change the way that they approach IP transfer, that they offer everything they need. And it's not something that they need to do. So there's definitely, I think, hesitancy in coming up with a standard practice. But, you know, at the end of the day, the commercialization is of a spin out is the ultimate goal, right, of all technology transfer officers. It's really being able to get these fledgling companies that have this really cool technology to get them investment and so that they can successfully exit. So, yeah, I think there is, it might take a bit of time, but yeah, there's definitely a movement in Germany anyways towards this. And you know, this issue is not just a German issue, right? It's all over. It's in the UK too. There's sort of each university has its own approach to IP transfer. So it's something that maybe all countries with good university research could maybe look at in terms of streamlining the way that they transfer IP to spin-outs.
And of the four kind of spin-outs from Darmstadt under the kind of new IP for shares model, what kind of startups were those?
So there's one company, it's called Focused Energy. That's a laser fusion power startup. So we're looking at very long-term horizon here, right, towards commercialization. As with all fusion energy startups. There's another one called Illutherm. It's an energy efficient technology for firing up ceramics. You know, it takes a lot of energy to fire up a kiln to produce a ceramic. So they've come up with a new energy efficient technology for that. Then there's another one called InnoShifting. That's an inventor of next generation electric multi-speed transmissions. And then finally, there's a company called Cerasleeve, which is developing a type of paper that you could, it's fully recyclable, but you can get it wet. It's water repellent. So it's like kind of a tough paper that's fully recyclable, whereas a lot of materials right now on the market aren't recyclable because of properties that are added to the paper. So you can't recycle them. So that's another one. So this, you know, this new IP shares model was introduced 2 years ago at the university. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's still probably some time before we know, you know, to what extent it's attracting new investors. But from investors themselves, this is like a really big issue. And so, you know, venture capital firms like Hightech Gründerfonds, this is something, this whole idea that you can speed up the whole IP transfer and make it more transparent and fair, I think is, you know, a huge barrier that spin-outs now can overcome for them to invest in them. So, yeah, I think when you're a venture capital firm, there's always this worry that the IP transfer is going to take a while. So really removing that obstacle is a big win, really, for both the university and the spin-out.
A big plus, yeah. And that sounds like a pretty eclectic quartet there, right? So I suppose it's kind of sector neutral almost, how, you know, the ease with which the IP can be transferred doesn't really depend on the kind of technology or the horizon, does it?
Yeah, I suppose, like you said, that kind of very varied mix of technologies, it doesn't, yeah, appear to, you can use this IP for shares model for whatever technology. I mean, I know the university did mention that if it's a very IP heavy technology where they've had a really big hand in the company's technology, then the percentage of shares will be bigger, right? That they, or the virtual shares that they take will be a bigger part. So, you know, the idea of a virtual shares too is quite important here. So virtual shares don't give ownership in a company. It's more like a cash payment that they get that reflects the stock price. So if that company eventually IPOs, they will get cash payment instead of ownership in the company. So that's just one thing that they were quite keen to emphasize here, that they don't, you know, a virtual shares is something that's quite important to this whole business model because it's not taking ownership. But even a very IP heavy technology, then the virtual shares portion will be higher than where they haven't had such a, where the IP maybe isn't such a big part of the company's technology.
Right. And the universities would see returns from the eventual exit, but does that you know, have a bearing on when they hand the IP over, or do they hand it over in any case?
They hand it over in any case, yes. And, you know, they wanted to emphasize that if there's no exit, and a lot of spin-outs don't make it, right? I mean, this is like, the failure rate's quite high.
Turtles on the beach.
Yes, so. Exactly. So there will, yes, the value of this IP shares model, they won't get any return from that. But something like, you know, a fusion energy company, which, you know, possibly could be a unicorn, right? Then the payout would be significant for that. So this is definitely, you know, a model that they see as worth doing. And they certainly said that it's not in terms of cash flow. It's not going to impact them at all. It's like, this is just a really successful way for them to get that money back, like, that they've put into the technology and all the research that's gone on at their university.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier that there's like this working group working on a kind of standardized model, right? So we know that that's the direction they want to go in. We know that it would, I suppose, benefit most of them, you know, even if the more conservative ones perhaps don't yet think so, or, you know, maybe haven't been persuaded yet. Do we know what kind of inroads they've made to coming to a kind of standardized agreement?
Don't actually, but you know, I think there is this idea that there needs to be a standardized contract. So Sprint, which is, I guess, is the kind of Germany's federal agency for disruptive innovation, so they're very much invested in getting this done, because it's just very important to the innovation ecosystem in Germany. So I don't know yet to what extent they've made real progress on this, but I know it's conversations that are happening right now. And yes, I guess a standard contract will be coming. To what extent it will be adopted by all the universities, or whether they'll all have to adopt it, I don't know the details there. But I'm assuming that if they come up with a standard contract, then it would just be a matter of each university then adopting that contract.
Mm-hmm. And do we know if the same kind of standardization push is happening elsewhere in Europe, or maybe even across the pond?
I don't know. I mean, it's, imagine that there are, yeah, efforts maybe in the UK. I don't know to what extent this is happening in maybe the US. I know in the US there's just a lot more venture capital available for spin-outs coming out of the universities. You know, there's some universities, I'm sure, that just think that they have a really good system going, right? So this might take a while to be adopted on a voluntary basis. But I guess the numbers will be revealing, right? If Germany does research in a few years' time that shows that through this process they have been able to attract a lot more venture capital to their spin-outs, then that's, you know, hard evidence that this is a successful business model, and investors certainly seem to think it is.
Yeah, and do the people that you've spoken to for the piece, or, you know, especially from Darmstadt, are they optimistic then that they're going to see that money flowing in?
Very optimistic. Yes, they do definitely champion this model, and I just think that the good reception that they've had already from investors and spin-outs is really, yeah, evidence for them that this will be, yeah, a successful way of transferring IP for them.
Well, I mean, certainly one to keep an eye on, you know, if you know, whether you're a university elsewhere or a seed stage investor, you know, looking for companies to deploy capital into that, you know, perhaps before were a bit off limits because of the IP problem. So maybe this will go some ways to solve that, at least in Germany, at least for now. And, you know, definitely want to keep an eye on. Kim, thank you so much for joining me again today. As always, one of our favorite guests. And I used a royal we there, so one of my favorite guests.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Fernando.
Take care. That's it from us, folks. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. I have been Fernando Moncada. Our sound engineer is Mark Chatterley from In Ear Production. Go check out his work today at inearproduction.com. We'll be back again next week, as ever. Have a good one.